It's the Rosie on the House Show.
And we're here every Saturday for you, simply by setting your radio dial. You want to participate? 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. Before we get to the calls, we've talked a lot about planting, but I've noticed a lot of emails coming in at rosieonthehouse.com asking about lawns. We're getting in that transition period, right? If someone had a winter rye or if they just left it dormant. What? I know we'll be talking about this a lot coming up, but I mean, is there anything in the lawns we should be working on today or this weekend?
It depends on if you planted winter lawn, a ryegrass or cool season lawn, or if you didn't. If you have a green winter ryegrass lawn, then it's just kind of situation normal for a while. Keep it mowed, obviously. The watering is up and down. I've had my water off for a week or two, but with 90-degree weather, I'm probably going to have to turn it back on this weekend and give it a good drink. Fertilize it at least one more time. You don't want to neglect fertilizing your winter lawn, because as that summer lawn starts to make its transition, it needs nutrients to come back too. So we'll talk a little bit as we get, you know, a little further down the road. It's too early to be transitioning from winter to summer lawns yet. If you did not overseed and you have what has been a dormant Bermuda or hybrid Bermuda grass lawn, the thing you might be fighting now is some weeds. With the rain that we've had, you know, you might have some green stuff coming up in it. So probably controlling weeds in those is the big thing right now before they go to seed. Now, when they're completely dormant, you can use Roundup. You can use just about any kind of weed and grass killer in those dormant lawns on the green stuff that's coming up without damage. Now we're getting to the point where those Bermudas are probably starting to wake up a little bit and green up. Once they start doing that, then you've got to go to a specific targeted type herbicide. If you've got broadleaf weeds, you want to use something for broadleaf weeds that won't damage the Bermuda grass. Of course, you can still use pre-emergence. That'll control stuff that's going to come up later, especially the spurge as we get down the road into the deep part of summer. Now's when you want to start using a pre-emergent on your lawn or your gravel areas to control your spurge.
Now, if you're like Sharon from Tucson, who wrote in this week, who's in an HOA of 41 homes, and they're converting all lawns in each yard to Xeriscape.
It's Xera.
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 Not zero.
Not
Xera.
Zero.
Xera.
Zero. Xeriscape. I guess I'm sensitive to that because zero means no landscaping.
Oh,
so
okay.
Xera is dry.
Zero.
Okay. So they're converting them.
They are.
From grass.
They want to know if they should. They want to do four a week. Can they start now?
No.
Like you said, if you put poison on it, it's not going to kill it. It's dormant.
It's got to be green and growing. And so unfortunately, if they can start now, yes, but they will have heartaches down the road if they start this early. Wait another month probably. As that grass starts to green up, then we want to water it. We want to fertilize it. We want to pretend that we're going to have the best lawn that we've ever had in our lives. And as soon as it looks beautiful and green and golf course quality, then we want to sock it to it with the glyphosate, which is Roundup, high yield kills all, you know, a non-selective systemic herbicide. I like to do it, let it look like it's dead. I like to water it again for a week or two, see if it'll, you know, I can get any places to green back up. Dude, if you're going to do a whole community like that, you want to take your time and do it right. So they got to wait another month, probably.
It's a lot more rewarding to take your time and do it right than sit there trying to
kill
it when
it's coming
through
your
quarter
line. Here's what will happen. You take the grass out. You plant some nice selected shrubs in that landscape, and you put the gravel down, and then you've got drip emitters going to these plants now instead of sprinkling the whole lawn. Well, if you don't do it right, then every place you've got a drip emitter watering a plant, you're going to have Bermuda grass coming back. And it'll be coming back right up through that plant as well. So not only will you have grass, you can have grass coming up right in the middle of a plant. And it's just a nightmare.
And so, can usually are more aggressive than the plant that you have there.
Well, certainly, because it's established and that plant's young, and you know, so you got issues. So take your time, unless you're not going to plant any plants or something. And then that would be a zero.
Then
that would be a zero scale.
To our callers, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Mandy in Cave Creek, good morning. How may we help you?
Well, good morning. Hey, I put in a landscape last year, And I had some totem poles that were given to me by my neighbor. So they're varying size from 6 to 8 inches tall to, you know, 24, 36 inches tall. And they're sharing a drip system with some other succulents on a gallon per hour drip that's been set at 30 minutes. And what I've noticed is some of those totem poles are starting to split lengthwise. And I'm just wondering,
you're getting too much water.
And if they're just getting too much water.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're just getting way overwatered. You know, they wouldn't need any water except maybe once in a while in the summertime anyway. So you're going to have to, I don't know what you're going to do, but probably even the succulents are getting overwatered if you're watering them that much.
Right.
So if you can cut back somehow or isolate or move the totem poles maybe somewhere else, that sort of thing. But they're just getting way too much water.
Okay. That's pretty much what I figured. Is there any damage that I need to worry about with those?
Well, if they're splitting, yeah, they can develop some problems with rotting and so forth. It's probably not a good situation. So, you know, you just have to dry them out and see if they'll heal before you get any rot that starts to occur. Once that necrosis or that rot starts to occur in those cacti, it can spread pretty fast and it's pretty hard to stop.
Appreciate the call. Hope that helped. Cut back water. That easy enough to do.
Yeah, save some money.
On, off, on, off. I can do that.
Yeah.
Jack in Scottsdale, good morning, sir. Welcome to the program. He thought we forgot about him.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
A cup of coffee. Hi, Jack.
Oh, yes. I was calling about the bougainvillea and hibiscus. My question was, I pointed out that I had about half a dozen bougainvillea that were 6 to 8 years old, and all of them, but except a couple of them, are coming back. Mm-hmm. And what I was wondering is if there some type of a stimulant that I can or should use on the two that aren't responding.
Well, you know, if a plant is not growing and doesn't have green leaves on it, it doesn't do a lot of good to fertilize it. The ones that have started with some new growth, I would definitely get some fertilizer on there that will help them start to develop more new growth more quickly. You might try something like a root stimulator, which actually is a rooting hormone, to try and see if we can boost the roots to stimulate them to start pushing some new growth more quickly. The first thing I'd do, though, is go out and do the scratch test like we talked earlier and see if they're even alive. If they're not even alive, then there's no reason to wait to do anything. So.
It's a plant something, like you were talking about earlier, and they're dead.
It's just an opportunity to evaluate your entire landscape this spring, to look at things and go, just like our caller at the nursery, that she's just finally went, you know, she kind of just, you know, really wasn't that good anyway. So I just really time to look at things. You know, I often tell people, you know, how often do you buy a new refrigerator, a new appliance, even a new car? You know, way more often than we redo things in our landscape. And it's a lot cheaper to buy a plant than it is a new microwave or a new refrigerator. So, you know, I think because things are alive, it's a living organism, people are sensitive, I'm not sure. But doggone it, you know, after 15 or 20 years, that $20 plant gave you pretty darn good value and service. Maybe it's time to reward yourself and your house and your neighbors that have to look at it every day with something new. So time to plant something.
Well, and then a benefit of maybe, you know, every couple of years doing something else or updating something else. That way, after 20 years, you don't start completely over.
Good point.
You've always got something in a nice full stage and something young growing. It can kind of really spread it out, so it's not everything and then nothing.
No, exactly. That's a great point. So, yeah, I think this is a look at it as an opportunity rather than a punishment out there that you're having to do.
I have become a huge fan of creosote.
That's because you're prehistoric.
Look, it's a pretty plant. It smells good in the monsoon season. It's self-pre-emergent. It doesn't let any other weeds pop up around it. It gets some blossoms on it occasionally. Never freezes, never drought dies. Creosote, baby. Creosote is the official certified Arizona desert plant.
Well, that's a step up from the metal plants that were the certified ones a week ago that the guy down the street
metal,
from your house.
Metal plants are good.
So at least we've gone to live, from metal to live.
I'm all about creosote, baby. Never need to trim it, never need to edge it, never need to fertilize it. Creosote.
And there is something about a summer night on a flat plain full of creosote with just soaking wet in the breeze. I mean, that smell, you can't find it anywhere else that I know of. I mean, it's just, it is something else.
Then there's the next morning after a monsoon rain.
Soupy and muddy. Or...
Yeah.
Getting out, getting unstuck.
Yeah.
We're at March 15th. We're talking plant something. We have optimal planting season, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Well, we plant year-round here, depending on what you're planting. So we're certainly in, as far as body temperature and you know, optimum time for comfort for us and for most plants, you know, at least through May. So we've got, you know, a good 8 weeks probably. So, yeah. Depending on Mother Nature and the weather. You know, a week ago it was freezing cold. So we've just had really a week or so of really great weather. But, yeah, there's a window just like any place where it's the optimal time. And you're right. You know, so through about the Mother's Day is probably optimal.
1-888-767-4348. It's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When we get back, it's Nick and Randy both calling in from Gilbert this morning. You're in the garden with John J. Harper on Rosie on the House.